Salvation is not just about a ticket to heaven. It's about a transformed life.
Welcome to Living God's Way, coming to you from the Germantown Christian Assembly in Mount Airy, Philadelphia. In an age when many are abandoning Christian values, Pastor Brian Grant's expository preaching from the timeless Word of God will remind us that the best way to live is to live God's way.
Last week, in the first part of this message entitled Reaching the New Generation, we heard Pastor Brian Grant stress that in order for the Church of Jesus Christ to impact the new generation with a message that will bring light to the darkness and produce change, that message must be about the Christ who came to save. In part two, which we will be hearing this evening, Pastor Grant will bring before us two more priorities that must characterize the witness of the church as our generation attempts to reach the new generation with the life-changing gospel. One of our longtime mottos here at the Germantown Christian Assembly is that, quote, God's message always comes from God's word, end quote. So if you have your Bibles, please turn with us to Colossians chapter 1, verse 28, and listen with us as Pastor Grant brings the concluding part of this message. Once again, here is Pastor Grant.
But you know, sadly, some churches think this gospel is not attractive enough for the new generation. Some are modifying the message. I shared with you some months ago about the rise of seeker-sensitive churches. And many seeker churches are mega churches with very popular pastors. And the goal of a seeker church is to present the gospel to the new generation in an inviting and non-threatening way. They do surveys to find out the things that seekers want. And what they do, they design the church's programs based on the things that the seeker wants. And anything the seeker doesn't want, anything that makes the seeker uncomfortable, they leave it out. So unfortunately, in many of these seeker churches, and some will actually use that word in their literature as you discuss it, not all do, but in many of these churches, sin, hell, or repentance are rarely mentioned. Listen to this. In most of those churches, rarely is Jesus Christ spoken of as the exclusive way to heaven. Guess why? Such things are regarded as divisive. It is divisive to say Jesus is the only way. So you present a Jesus who is another way. I want to tell you, do you know it's possible to worship in church and hear a message about Jesus, but the Jesus is not the Jesus of the Bible? You see, the Jesus of the Bible, and young people, in case I don't touch on this when I get to my series on finding the right person, you need to know that when you talk to a young man or a young lady and they tell you, I am a Christian, I believe in Jesus, you need to find out, what Jesus is it? You say, Brother Brian, there's only one Jesus. No. There's a lot of talk about Jesus in the religious circles today, but a lot of times it's not the Jesus. It's not the Jesus who is God manifested in flesh. It's not the Jesus who died on a cross for the sins of the world. It's not a Jesus who's the only way to heaven. It's not a Jesus who's coming back to judge. Are you with me? The Jesus of the Bible is that type of a Jesus. The Jesus of the Bible is not just a Jesus who loves everybody. He loves everybody, but he's much more than that. He's a Jesus of justice. He's a Jesus of righteousness. He's a Jesus of judgment. But I'm glad that he is a Jesus of forgiveness and restoration and reconciliation and love. He's a Jesus that if you come to him this morning, he will receive you. One man I heard on TV, he actually said, as he opened his massive church, he says, listen, I promise you, I will never preach a message about sin, because he says, listen, you get beat up enough during the week. Why do you need to come to church to get beat up again? And I say, this man is leading everybody there to hell. You say, Brother Brian, that's rather harsh. Listen, if I don't preach to you about sin, I haven't helped you. Because if there is no sin to preach about, why are we here? You may as well have been out cutting your grass. The reason we are here is because there is sin. But thank God, the reason we are here is because there is a Savior. And I'm here this morning with incredibly good news. He claims he's giving you good news. Listen, he's not giving you good news if he only tells you, oh, if you do this, Jesus is going to bless you. Oh, you can do anything you want. You just dig deeply and you try. I can give you a lot of motivational messages too. The greatest motivation I want to give you is the motivation to recognize your sinfulness, but recognize there is a Savior who is willing to save you. And listen, you see, here's the difference. This Jesus, when he comes inside of you, he starts a work of transformation. And although you may have started out terribly, terribly messed up, when he's done with you, you know his objective is to make you and I look like Jesus. Can you imagine, based on where some of us started, that one day we will be like Jesus? Is that good enough for you? What a message we have. What a message we have to tell this person. Listen, I have the privilege, I regard it as a privilege, to work with a number of homosexuals, not at my office, but as clients of mine, and we have a chance to talk. Some of them have said to me, talk about the darkness. Some have said to me, I don't wish this on anybody. Doesn't mean they are walking away. These things are so addictive. Young person, if you find yourself being attracted, seek help. Don't continue on that path. When you are starting to practice homosexuality for a while, it is so addictive. Can God's power release you? Yes, God's power can release you and free you, but it is such a difficult process. Don't believe the world's lie. The Bible says in the book of Hebrews, Moses decided to suffer affliction with the people of God rather than to endure the pleasures of sin for a season. Every sin that you can think of is pleasurable for a while. The motivation, secondly, not only the message, but the motivation, verse 28, the motivation, him we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom that we what? That we may present every man perfect in Christ. Our motivation. Listen, what we are about. Come on, GCA. What we are about as we preach this gospel is not just to see people saved. What we are about is to present every man perfect. In other words, to get everyone to maturity. Salvation is not just about a ticket to heaven. It's about a transformed life. You see, today there is great emphasis on church growth. Sometimes we end up with a full church of empty people. But Paul wanted to present every believer mature in Christ. And GCA is committed. I'm speaking on behalf of the elders. We are committed to helping young Christians mature. We are committed. That's why we recently started Jumpstart at 9:30 for young believers. If you're here and you're a young believer, or you've been saved for a while but you have not grown, you need to jump into Jumpstart. That's on 9:30. There are new beginnings. There are all these other things that we have started. We are determined that from the youngest to the oldest, every believer ought to be maturing. There are two important aspects of the maturing process that Paul mentioned here. There are more, but he mentions two in the passage. One, he talks about admonishing. Admonishing. Some versions of the scripture use the word warning, but I like the word admonishing. Admonishing means confronting with the intent of changing behavior. Don't miss this. Admonishing is not confronting to condemn. You know, Christians sometimes like to tell you something, but they're not trying to tell you to help you. They're trying to tell you to condemn you. You look at you. But admonishing, the goal, it's a loving, it sometimes have a, you have to be firm sometimes, but your goal is love. You're trying to help someone to change. Let's make sure, because some of us like to admonish, but we don't like to be admonished. Are you with me? You don't want nobody to tell you anything. If anybody tells you anything, you're bent out of shape. You're upset. That's not God's way. We're to admonish. If one of the elders need admonishing, I ought to be able to take the admonishing, because we are still on the journey. I am not in heaven yet.
Stay tuned for the conclusion of today's broadcast. To help with your personal walk with God, Pastor Grant has made available printed outlines of today's message with all the scriptures referenced. For your copy, please visit our website, livinggodsway.org, that's livinggodsway.org, or call our office at 215-242-5550. Once again, 215-242-5550. And now let's return to Pastor Grant for the conclusion of today's message.
Until I get to heaven, I'm going to need some admonishing. Sometimes somebody's going to have to come, brother, such and such. Amen? May God help us. But do you know, as I was thinking about this, in the context of reaching the new generation, as we try and reach our messed up generation, you know, the reality is these folks are going to come with problems. And I've come to find out along the way that not every Christian wants to deal with folks they regard as too steeped in sin. I hope you realize that. Some years ago, I was in my early 30s at the time, and probably I was naive or foolish or whatever. And these group of elders came from another city. And to protect the innocent, I won't call and even the city's name. But they came from a city, and they came to visit the church for a weekend. And we had some special thing going on. And so we had a lot of chats, and they invited me to come and speak. And as we went along the week, the weekend, they realized that, you know, we started sharing about our different churches. And they realized that we had a lot of people that came from messed up backgrounds. And they said to me, they don't try reaching folks like that because they said they'll mess up the church. I was sort of taken by surprise. I never quite hear it quite that crisply coming from men of God. We don't even want to reach these people because they'll mess up the church. I guess my father spoiled us, Richard, taking us to Trenchtown with all of that craziness going on down there. I was saying to them in New York, part of the challenge of this generation is that the Christians of today, we are too protective of our kids. We don't want to take our children anywhere that there might be risk. No wonder we've raised all these kids, spoiled Christians. They can't show up anywhere. God better lead them to the nice burbs. My daddy spoiled us. He took us to Trenchtown. Here we were teaching Sunday school, and a man pull up with a gun, and he held me up. I don't know if you were there that day. And he said, teaching the Bible in the open air Sunday school, the man said, "We don't want to hear about God down here. Move." So I said, "Okay." No point arguing about it. Not so long ago, some years ago, more recent time, we were down there having a crusade in the yard of the church in Trenchtown again. And all of a sudden, as I'm about to go up to preach, That's guns, by the way. A barrage of bullets from next door. And I must be honest, my sanctification failed. For a moment, my mom was still alive, but for a moment, I was probably service could be continued inside the building. My mother said to me, I'm just about to go up. They're not going to stop us from preaching the gospel. Go and preach. Oh, my parents spoiled us. It's their fault. It's their fault. You know, if you're walking on the street, some of you wouldn't pick up the quarter, but you're walking along the street and you see a dirty quarter, you know, some of you wouldn't pick it up, but most people would still pick it up. Because although it's dirty, it still has value as long as it has the image of the eagle. I want you to know that no matter how messed up and dirty a person might be, as long as they have the image of God, they still have value. Listen to me, God. As long as they have the image of God, there is no one that is so dirty that heaven's detergent cannot wash. That's why I'm so glad to be a preacher of the gospel of Jesus Christ, this God of grace, who can take that messed up person, clean them, turn them around like that madman at Gadara. When they were finished, he was clothed and in his right mind. And I want you to know that no matter your history, no matter what you have done, Jesus can turn you around by his grace. There is admonishing, but there is teaching. Teaching the orderly presentation of Christian truth so believers may know how to grow. Boy, we have spent a lot of time developing and still developing teaching ministries here because we are determined that we must have, listen, an orderly. That's why we're not jumping all over the place. Have you noticed that? We're trying to be very consistent with the preaching. That one Sunday we don't preach on this, the next Sunday on that, the next Sunday on the other, they're all over the place. We're orderly presentation of Christian truth. But listen, spiritual maturity requires that you take advantage. And I want to talk to the person that's sitting here who you are not taking advantage. We would like every believer of GCA to come to at least one Bible study a week. You have choices. You have the Sunday school. And there are classes. There's a foundations class. There's a ladies class. There's an adult class. A children's class. You can come. If you can't do that, you can come on Tuesday. We have all these Bible Institute classes. You got a choice of classes. We got Golden Eagles class. We got young adults class. We got class after class after class. You are not going to grow if you don't take advantage. I will promise you that. There are too many immature Christians. Let me go to my final point. The ministry. What have I spoken about? The message, the motivation, and finally the ministry. Paul says, to this end I also labor, striving according to his working, which works in me mightily. The ministry God has entrusted to us to reach our generation will not be achieved if we're only willing to do what is convenient. And so in verse 29, Paul uses the term struggling. The word is translated striving in some versions, but the word is struggling. The whole idea, the word that was used, the Greek word that was used, was a word used to describe an athlete who was painfully pursuing athletic victory. It's a word of an athlete that's giving all, an athlete that's trying to make it to the tape. The 1992 Summer Olympics featured two powerful moments. American sprinter Gail Devers, the clear leader in the 100 meters hurdle, tripped and fell over the last hurdle. Some of you might remember it. She agonizingly pulled herself to her knees and crawled the last 5 meters, finishing fifth, but finishing. You see the idea of struggling? She's down, but she's going across the tape. The most powerful one I remember from that Olympics was the 400 meter semifinal, in which British runner Derek Redmond tore a hamstring and he fell to the track. And Redmond struggled to his feet and began to hobble, determined to finish the race. His father ran from the stands to help him off the track, but Derek basically refused and told him he was finishing. So his father lent him his shoulder, he leaned on his father, and the two of them limped to the finishing line. I don't know if how many of you remember it. Redmond and Dad struggling. That's the picture. The ministry requires that type of effort. I've been around long enough to know that when a church advertises a tent meeting, that some folks have already decided how few times they're coming. Perhaps I'm speaking to somebody. You have already made up your mind. I'll be there Sunday morning, but don't look for me. I am saying to you, the ministry, if we're going to reach this new generation, God is calling for struggle, effort, full commitment, where we're willing to say, God, I'm going to serve you with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my strength. Are you there? When the great ocean liner Titanic sank, 1,500 plus people died, although more than half the lifeboats were empty. Did you hear what I said? Over half of the lifeboats were empty. 1,500 plus people died. Because the people in the boats who were safe didn't want to run the risk of picking up the people who were drowning. Picture it. People were in their reach and they let them die. People were in their reach. Isn't that terrible? People are in your reach. Are you going to let them die? Or is this morning going to be a reawakening, where this morning you say to God, God, thanks for entrusting me this ministry. This ministry requires all my effort. God, I am not going to let them die. I'm going to throw out the lifeline. I might be ridiculed. I might be laughed at. But God, you help me. I'm going to do my part.
My friend, Jesus loves you so much that if you were the only person in the whole world, he would have died just for you. No matter what you've done, Jesus wants to save you. He wants to forgive you today. You say, Pastor Grant, what do I need to be saved? You simply need to trust the Lord Jesus, repent of your sin, and turn to him. You may pray a simple prayer like this. Dear God, I'm a sinner, need your forgiveness. Thank you that Jesus died for my sins. Please cleanse me from all my sin. I receive Jesus Christ into my heart as my personal Savior and Lord. Please help me to live for you from this day forward. Amen. And my friend, if you pray a simple prayer like that and mean it, God will hear you and he will answer your prayer and he will save you. I hope you'll do that right now.
Thanks for tuning in today. We trust this was a real encouragement to you. If you made a decision for Christ today, or if we can be of any spiritual encouragement, please contact us. Counselors are available to respond to your questions and to send you resources that will help in your walk with Christ. You can reach us weekdays at 215-242-5550. That's 215-242-5550, or by visiting our website, livinggodsway.org. That's livinggodsway.org.
Living God's Way is the broadcast ministry of the Germantown Christian Assembly, located at 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. We invite you to join us for worship each Sunday at 10:45 a.m. and for Tuesday night community connections every Tuesday at 6 p.m. And now, on behalf of Pastor Brian Grant, Steve Washington, and our entire church family, this is Taylor Noble reminding you to tune in same time next week for another edition of Living God's Way.